If you take your Bibles and open them up to the Gospel of Mark, where we just had our scripture reading. And today will be the last day that we will be going through the book of Mark together. We started with Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, and we have been on this journey for quite some time. I look back, there was over 50 sermons in this series. And we've learned a lot, we've grown a lot, I know I have. And it's been fun to look at each verse very carefully and to share it with you. And today, as we take a look at this, here in Mark 16, we see the greatest event in human history. All right, we see the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see that we are forgiven. We see that we are accepted by God. We see that we are cleansed by His blood, that we are saved by His grace. And as I look at this event, you think, everybody would have been there. And it's surrounded by unbelief and unbelieving people. Now, take a look at this. The greatest event in human history. Hey, here we are. I'm in chapter 16, and look at verse 3. Hey, here are the ladies. They're going out to the tomb. It says, and they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? In other words, when they got there, and they were expecting that Jesus was still in the tomb. They expected that he was still dead. They weren't thinking that there was a resurrection. How did they miss it? All right? And not only that. Okay, I'm going to go down to verse 4, but when they looked up and they saw that the stone had been rolled away and it was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. All right, they see an angel, and there's the angel, and he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. Amen. All right? He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. Yeah, why weren't the disciples and Peter there? They were not expecting a resurrection. You think they would have said, hey, you know, Jesus told us that this was going to happen. We ought to get down there and we ought to watch this thing take place. But they didn't. All right? Yeah. They were afraid. They were scared. Hey, and then when we are afraid, hey, fear takes away our faith. And here it says, to go and tell his disciples and that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said. And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Yeah, they were afraid. Yeah, they didn't stop. There were people on the way. They didn't say anything to them. And they went, and eventually they're going to tell the disciples. And then it says, and when he rose early on the morning of the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. And she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, what does it say? They did not believe. All right? Greatest event in history. All right? Everybody's missing it. Nobody wants to believe it. Okay? And it says, after he appeared in another form to 2 of them, and we can know from the Gospel of Luke that that's Cleopas and his friends. All right? And it says the two of them, as they walked, they went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. All right? Jesus is sending all these people to his disciples, okay? And they didn't believe. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had sent them. Okay? They didn't believe. This wasn't the first time Jesus had told them about his death and resurrection. I'm going to go back to the Gospel of Mark, back to the 8th chapter, just halfway back through the book. Take a look at this with me. Mark chapter 8, Jesus had told his disciples this was going to happen. And I'm going to go to verse 31, all right? I'm in Mark 8, verse 31. This should not have been a surprise to the disciples. Shouldn't be a surprise to us. All right? And here in verse 31, Mark chapter 8, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Amen. See, Jesus told them. Hey, he couldn't have been more clear, okay? And this wasn't the only time he told them. Turn to chapter 9 and take a look at verse 31. Yeah, and it says here, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Turn with me to chapter 10, all right? Yeah, Jesus told his disciples, he's told them several times. And here we are at the third time he tells them, chapter 10, verse 33, follow me. It says, because we are going up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Yeah, Jesus spoke to them. What happened? Why didn't they understand? Why didn't they believe? You know, faith seems to be something that runs through this great book. It's one of those themes. Yeah, you can't miss it. Mark is trying to reach out to us. He doesn't want what happened to the disciples to happen to us. He wants us to believe. He wants us to know. Yeah, hey, here, follow with me. In Mark chapter 2, okay, and verse 5. Yeah, Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Here's the first time we see the word faith in the Gospel of Mark. There is a man who was a paralytic. He can't walk to Jesus. People had to carry him to Jesus. And here in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Yeah, now wait a second. He didn't see the paralytic's faith. He saw his friend's faith. All right? Yeah, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Yeah. Oh, wow. When he saw their faith. Faith is something you can see. Apparently, faith cannot be hidden. Faith cannot be something that we keep to ourselves. Jesus is looking, and will he see faith in you? Will he see your faith? By the things you say, by the things you think, by the things you do. Yeah, well, if he was to look at you, does he see faith? Faith is something that we just don't talk about. Faith is something that we do. In the storm, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 40, all right, Yeah, remember the disciples were in the boat. Jesus was sleeping, all right? And a storm comes up and kind of surprises them. And they have to wake Jesus. And Jesus stands up and he calms the storm. But notice what verse 40, I'm in Mark 4, verse 40. It says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Yeah, fear chases away faith. All right. We must show our faith, even in storms of life. When things happen that we don't expect, when surprises happen. Here, these guys were afraid. They thought they were going to die right there. Yeah, when you fear that you're going to lose your own life, there is always something we can do. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he will help us through those storms. All right? I just praise God. Hey, he's speaking to us today. And he's trying to break the power of unbelief. He wants us to put faith and trust completely in him. And this is what he was trying to do with his disciples. And you know, I have found in my struggles, in my hard times, there's something that I do. I put my faith in my faith, and I doubt my doubts. Now, what do I mean by that? I can put my faith in Jesus Christ because he's the one who died for me. He's the one who rose again. Through him, I know that I'm forgiven. Through him, I know that I am blessed. I am accepted. I have become his son. All right? I know that he has saved me, and he's not done with me. He's working in me and through me. He's changing me, and he's filling me with his spirit, and he's helping me to become more like Jesus in all I say and do and think, and he wants to do the same for all of us. And that's the good news of the gospel, and he doesn't want us to keep that gospel to ourselves, because faith can be seen. Faith can be heard. Yeah, and God wants us to share the good news of what he has done for all of us, to anyone and everyone. Yeah, let me take a look at this. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, yeah, there was that lady with the issue of blood, and she went to all the doctors, and she spent all that she had. She had no more money. She went to the priest. She went to anyone and everyone that she could find who could possibly help her, and no one helped her. The Bible says she actually grew worse. Yeah, but she reaches out in faith and touches the hem of Jesus' garment while no one is watching. And Jesus stops. And here in Mark 5, verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, she reached out in faith. And she was healed physically, emotionally, mentally. Jesus says, go in peace. Wow. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to come inside us. He wants to give us peace. He wants to heal us. He wants to give us a new start, a second chance, a brand new life. Oh, I praise God. I praise God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Yeah, this theme of faith and unbelief has been through this great book as we have studied it. And there was a man, Jesus had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. There he was with Moses and Elijah, and he was bright as the sun and in white clothes that they couldn't even describe. He comes down into this valley, and he meets this man who has this son who is demon-possessed. Boy, from the light to the darkness. And here, Jesus and this man get into a discussion about faith. Chapter 9, verse 22. And he says, the Father is speaking, and he says, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if," notice that word if, all right? "If you can do anything." You see, he doesn't have faith, all right? "Jesus, if you can do anything." He doesn't say, "Jesus, you can heal him. Now you can cast out those demons." No. "If you can do anything." He says, "Have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe," if you have faith, if you put your trust completely in Jesus, "all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and that's what God wants to hear from you and me. Yeah, "Lord, I struggle believing and trusting completely in you and in your word. Lord, just help my unbelief." Yeah, and Jesus went into action. Yeah, isn't that great that God, he helps us with our own unbelief. He knows our struggles. He knows our weaknesses. And he wants to help us. He cares about us. He loves us. And the good news of the gospel, of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is power. Power that flows for 2,000 years later to reach out and to touch and to help each and every one of us and anyone and everyone in the world today. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. You know, as we're coming near the end of this chapter, we're also coming near the end of the life of Jesus. Verse 52. I'm sorry. We're coming near this is Jesus' last trip. Okay, up to Jerusalem, all right? As he's leaving this city, okay, he's not going to return back this way anymore. So this is Bartimaeus's last chance. Isn't it neat that God, in his love, in his mercy, and in his grace, even when it's someone's last chance, he comes through. All right? Verse 52. "And then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Today, Jesus wants to take us from unbelief to belief. Yes. He wants us to trust completely in him and what he has done on the cross. He doesn't want you to doubt his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness. Hey, that evil one wants you to do that. The evil one wants to make God look like a devil. But as you look at that cross, you see that we serve a God of mercy and grace and compassion. Bud Greenspan wrote a book on the 100 greatest moments of Olympic history. And in 1992 in Barcelona, there was a young man by the name of Derek Redmond. He was running the 400-meter race. All right? And as he was going for the gold medal, And he was partway through the race when he heard a snap in the back of his leg, and he felt a searing pain. He had pulled a hamstring. And while everyone continued the race, all right, as they continued to race towards the gold medal, you know, he had to stop and he had to limp. But you know what? He wanted to go to that finish line. He wasn't going to give up. Even though everybody had finished the race, he just kept hobbling along. And when the race was done, his father jumped out of the crowd, out of the grandstand, and came down and put his shoulder up under his son, and he helped him. He helped him walk along all the way across the finish line. That's what our God does for us. Our God was not done with his disciples. You know, he could have said, hey, I'm done with you. I told you three times, all right? I told you three times that I was going to die and I was going to rise again on the third day. Yeah, he could have said, hey, look at all these miracles that took place. You guys should have been ready. You should have been prepared. But they weren't. He had every reason to toss them aside and begin all over. But the amazing thing is, he doesn't. Look at what the scripture says. Here I am. I'm in Mark chapter 16. Yeah, take a look at this. Yeah, Mark chapter 16. All right, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. He says, hey, guys, I'm giving you a second chance. I'm giving you a do-over. I'm giving you a mulligan. Yeah, I want you to get it right. I'm not done with you. I'm not giving up on you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. All right? He's saying, hey, through my power, yeah, I just conquered the grave. Yeah, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit and by my grace, hey, yeah, I got a better plan for you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to use you. And take a look at verse 20, the very last verse of this great book. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Yeah, what can be more exciting than that? God gave them a second chance. And the good news of the gospel is he gives us a second chance today. Yeah, the God has never given up on us, and he will never give up on us, and he wants to use you. And you know, one of the best ways to show our faith is by telling others. It's the best way to go from unbelief into belief. It's the way that God has given to us, to spread the gospel. And it changes our hearts and our lives as we share our faith with those around us. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, we've read about the leper. And remember, the leper comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. All right? And remember what Jesus does? Reaches out and touches him, touching a leper. Yeah, and he says, I will be clean. Now, Jesus tells him, don't tell others. Don't tell others. What does he do? He tells everybody. When good news happens, Hey, you can't keep it to yourself. All right? He had to tell everybody, we got good news. We have the greatest news in the world today. And we can't help but keep it to ourselves. We have to share it. We have to live it. We have to tell people that Jesus is coming again soon, and he wants them to be part of his everlasting kingdom. Now, the last thing I want to say here is found in verse 19. All right? And so after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Yeah. Jesus went up to heaven. Yeah, he didn't go up to heaven to be separate from us. He didn't go up to heaven to forget about us and say, oh, my work is done. I'm just going to kick back and I'm just going to see what's going to happen. No. Yeah, Jesus is now our great high priest in heaven. The one who loved us, the one who died for us, the one who rose again is now interceding for us, forgiving us, cleansing us, helping us day by day. He is now with us every moment of the day. He lives and reigns in our hearts. Oh, what more could we want? Yeah, I read a story, and I know I shared it before, but I can't help but share it again. It's about a man by the name of Robert Morrison. Robert Morrison, yeah, he was pretty well-to-do, and he loved to collect paintings of various painters like Monet's, you know. He had a Picasso. Just all these different paintings, and he would invite people to his house, and he would show them these paintings, and he would tell them the stories behind these paintings. He loved to do it. Well, he also had a son, one son, his only son, and his son loved to go around with his dad, and he listened to the stories all the time. Yeah, and finally, yeah, even his son got to the point where he could tell the stories. As his son grew up, everybody thought, you know, he was going to be just like his dad. He was going to go to college. He was going to help his dad in the family business. But his son got a letter from the government, and they were going to draft him. And his son said to his dad, hey, I want to serve. I want to do this. And so his son went off to battle. He went into the war. Okay, and in the war, you know, it was quite a scary thing, and many times he would speak to the soldiers around him, and he would tell the soldiers about his dad, about the paintings, and he would give them the stories of the paintings, and it would just help relax the guys, and unfortunately, in one battle, he got killed. He died, and the word got back to the father. And oh, the father was just crushed. His son, his only son, gone. And life, as he grieved, life didn't have the meaning it had. As he experienced the loss of his son, he no longer invited people to his house. He no longer shared the paintings. And one day, there was a knock at the door. It was a soldier who had returned home. And he said, Mr. Morrison, he said, I just wanted to tell you about your son. He was a good man. And he took good care of us. And whenever we were afraid, he would tell us, all about you and your paintings, what I did in remembrance of him is I painted a picture of him, and he gave the painting to the father, and the father looked at that painting, Now, it wasn't a Monet, all right? It was more like a Picasso, like the way I paint, all right? But he looked at it, and he fell in love with it. And he put that at the center of his little art gallery. And then he started to invite people up. And he started telling them about the paintings. But he would begin with his son. He would always show the picture of his son. Now, it wasn't a great painting. And eventually, the father got old, and the father passed away. All right? And so everybody wondered what was going to happen to all the paintings in the estate. The auctioneer came out, told the people, hey, you know, we got to sell all the paintings. That was stipulated in the will. And the first painting to go up for auction was the painting of the son, which the soldier brought home. All right, and he looked at the painting, and everybody looked at the painting and said, no, don't start with those, that painting. Start with all the good paintings, all right, by all the well-known artists. And the auctioneer said, no, the will was very specific. We're starting with this painting. Well, nobody wanted to bid on it, all right? And finally, there was a gardener there, all right? He knew the son. He knew the dad. And he reached into his pocket, and he only had $25. And he said, I bid $25. Finally, everybody went, oof, all right, good, all right. Somebody's going to buy the painting, all right. And so he paid the $25. He got the painting. And then the auctioneer said, that's it, everybody. We're all done. Everybody was shocked. They were surprised. And they said, hey, well, what are you doing? Hey, what about all the other paintings? Hey, the auctioneer said, well, the will stipulated that whoever gets the painting of the son gets everything. All right? All right. The good news of the gospel is if you have the son, you have everything. All right? Yeah. Today, let Jesus take us from unbelief to belief. Let him live and reign in our hearts, and we can do it now as we pray. Father, we open our hearts to you. And Lord, we have to confess that we're just like the disciples. There are times when we have been in unbelief. But Lord, we don't want to play that game anymore. Today, we want to finalize it. We want to be completely yours. We want you. We want your son. We claim, Lord, that you will give us victory through the name of Jesus over the evil one, over sinful habits, over that old way of living, and that through the name of Jesus, that through the power of the Holy Spirit and by your grace, that you will live out your life within each and every one of us, helping us to become your sons, your daughters who reflect your character. Help us and bless us to this end. Help our own unbelief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.